the mighty name of Jesus. I want you to help me to sing this song with your hands lifted up. Every knee will bow down, every tongue confess and say hallelujah. Every knee will bow down, every tongue confess and say hallelujah. This morning, I've been tasked to speak on the word related to the course. So in the next few minutes, I'll be talking about retaking up the cross. And I want us to open our hearts and our minds. Those of you who have your pens and your notebooks, whilst I'm speaking, you can be writing the important points. You can pick them up, write it. When you go back home, you reflect on it. That's what we do in our Bible study class, right? So it's the same thing. You can't come to church and not write anything. You have to go back home with something. Hallelujah. Before I start, I think the course of the week, how many of us heard about the people on Nogokpo and Bishop, Archbishop Ajinasari's issue? How many of us heard about it? Okay. Go and find out later. But for those of us in the Christendom, some people are saying that they want Archbishop to go and apologize to the people. And I'm like, ah, why should the Archbishop go and apologize to them? They are lucky that we are not in the days of Elijah. They will not even dare organize a press conference and attack a man of God. It will not happen. It cannot happen. Okay. But our God is still strong. Jesus did not die on the cross just for anything. He didn't just die on the cross for dying sick. The blood that he shed on the cross means a lot. And that's why we Christians are very powerful, but we don't even know. The moment you become a born-again Christian and a believer, and you know the word of God, and you are walking with the word of God, you don't have to be afraid of anything. Then what's the point for the death of Jesus Christ, or even for him to come down just like an ordinary man, to come and go through all the trials, temptation, and then eventually die on the cross, a shameful death? God himself coming down to come and die a shameful death on the cross. Then what's the point? Then there's no point. But because we are not utilizing it, we are not making good use of the cross. But today I'll be talking about we taking up the cross. The cross that Jesus Christ was killed. He died on the cross. And he didn't die on the cross just for anything. He died on the cross for a purpose. Hallelujah. Please, can you give me the book of Luke chapter 9:23? I've started my message this morning. The book of Luke 9:23. I'll be working with two main scriptures, this one and another one, which I'll be mentioning in the course of time. I want us to focus on the scriptures that I'll be using, because these are very powerful scriptures. And I must say that it's not easy preaching on this particular topic, because whilst I was preparing for this, I realized that, you know, there is a lot we are not doing in the kingdom of God. There is a lot we as believers and Christians are also not taking advantage of the cross. And I realized how I don't want to use the word slack, but for the time being, that's what I can use. That how believers and Christians, we are slacking. We are not making good use of the cross. In the book of Luke chapter 9 verse 23. Now, this is Jesus Christ speaking. Okay. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ himself. He's speaking to you this morning. Okay. Don't see it to be like I am reading the word of God to you. I want you to pick this morning. See me like Jesus Christ himself, who has come before you this morning, and he's coming to talk to you about the need for you to take up your cross and follow him. Okay. Now listen to what Jesus Christ was telling his disciples. The Bible says that, then he said to them all, if anyone will come after me, pay attention. Okay. Pay attention. He said, then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me. So, anybody at all. Yeah? So, I'm Jesus Christ. I'm standing before you this morning. I'm saying that if anyone, so you, if any of you, you want to come after me, which you have already decided to do, we've all given our lives to Christ. We've all given our lives to Christ. He's saying that you must first deny yourself. You see the difficult part. you must deny yourself. So there is something about you that must leave. You must deny yourself some privileges and some opportunities and some form of pleasures of this world. You must deny yourself from those things and take up your cross. Take up your cross. Now the cross is even talking about here this morning. He did not say that we should take up our cross at a point in time or sometimes or some period in our life or at a point in time in our life, we should take up that cross. He's saying that daily you must take up that cross and follow him. So this is Jesus Christ speaking to you this morning. He's saying that if you really, really, really want to come after him, if you really, really want to come after him, he's giving you a conditionality. And the condition is that first, you must deny yourself. And also, you must be ready to take up your cross, which I'll be talking about this morning more. The cross. Take it up on a daily basis. And then now you qualify to follow me. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to come before you. Even as your word is coming, we are praying that, Lord, you will sanctify your word. Let your word minister to us. We pray that, Lord Jesus, our hearts will receive your word in the name of Jesus. We pray that our spirit will also accept your word. We will not see just like any other word, but we will see that, yes, indeed, you are the one ministry unto us. In the name of Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Now, to take up one's cross is very simple. Simple because you must be first willing to pay any price, to pay any price for the sake of Jesus Christ. Take note of that. To take up that cross, you must be willing to pay any price for the sake of Christ. So what is the form of prices we are talking about here? The kind of price. So to the extent that you can even lose your life. To that extent that you will even what? Lose, you can lose your life. Because when you look at the disciples, they all died because of what? Their decision to follow Christ. Let's see how some of them died. Some of them were crucified upside down. Some of them were stabbed. Some of them were... There are so many ways. But they had to go through all these things because of their decision to what? Follow Jesus Christ. So the cross experience in itself, it means that you have decided that you are going to pursue the will of Christ. You are leaving it all. All the pleasures of this world. All the nice things. You are bringing them down. And you are going to exalt Jesus Christ. It is also the willingness to endure shame, embarrassment, reproach, rejection, persecution, and like I said, even martyrdom. How many of us here are willing to go through the embarrassment and the shame? Today, even in school, when they say somebody should come and preach in class, even though you're a believer, you're a Christian, you will not talk about Christ in class. Some of us even don't want our friends to know that we can even speak in tongues. But this morning, I'm here to tell you that Jesus is saying that we should learn, we should be ready to take up the cross and then what? Follow him. And in our quest to take up that cross and follow him, we must be ready for some things. We must be ready to go through the embarrassment. We must be ready to go through that scorn. We must be ready to go through that shame. Because you see, Jesus Christ went through the same thing. When you look at the road map, to the cross. How Jesus Christ was denied on several occasions. Now, take note. The same people he was performing signs and wonders and they were cheering him on were the same people who gave him out. Why am I saying this? Jesus Christ did so many miracles, okay? And amongst one of the popular ones is the feeding of the 3,000. So if 3,000 people were present at the time that Jesus Christ performed that miracle, where were those 3,000 people when Jesus Christ was being crucified? Where were they? They were nowhere to be found. When the time comes for you to prove it, will you be there? Will you make yourself available? Will you stand on your ground and say that, yes, indeed, I have decided to take up the cross. And because I have decided, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, I have decided that I am following Jesus Christ. So absolutely nothing will come my way. Nothing will stop me. Will you be ready? Now let me talk a little bit about the cross and what the cross represents. Nowadays, it's like the cross really doesn't mean anything to some people. When I was in SHS, I had the opportunity to go to a Catholic school. And over there, you know, everything is about this. You know that. For the Catholics, everything is about it. And we're doing it nicely. But if you take your time to understand what the cross really means, and you are doing this sign, you're not taking it for granted. The same way, when we adorn ourselves with the cross, we will not take it lightly. Now wear clothes and we put the crucifix on it. I remember one time I was reading something about the Christian church. And you know, after reading this particular story, I think Ambukangobijo has shared it here before. That was some time back. It was at that point that I realized that the cross is a very powerful thing. And it was talking about Constantine. How many of you have heard about Constantine? The Roman Empire, Emperor Constantine. He was going to war, and he wasn't too sure about whether he was going to win the war. And I understand he had a dream. And in the dream, he saw the cross, and then a voice told him that he was going to conquer in this sign. And the sign was the symbol of the cross. He believed in it, and he went into that battle. And he believed that it was that same cross that was going to help him to attain that victory. And truly, he believed and he went into that battle and he won the battle as a result of believing in that cross. He said that the voice told him in a Latin word, he said, "In hoc signo visis," which means that in this sign you will conquer. So we can conquer a lot of things with the cross or by virtue of the cross as Christians. But because we have failed to understand the purpose of the cross and what the cross means to us as believers and as Christians, we find it difficult to even believe in it. But after today, I want you to understand that, you see, the death of Jesus Christ on the cross was not just an event. It just did not take place. If God himself decided to come on this earth like a mere human being, and he decided that he will go through all the processes, but he did not say that he wanted to die in a very nice way, but then he decided that whatever way they have planned that they want to kill him, which at the end of it all was that he was going to be what? He was going to be crucified on the cross. Then it means that we cannot take that cross for granted. Now listen. What is the cross in itself? The cross in those days, it represents shame. Yes. In those days, when they say that somebody is going to, because the Jews, they knew it. And people who were very mean to the Roman government, that's how they were killing them. They put them on the cross. So anytime there's something related to the cross, nobody wants it. Because it represents shame. And it represents a symbol of torture and death. That is what the cross meant. But you see, this same Jesus Christ is saying that we should take up that cross and follow him. We should take up that shame and follow him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, when the disciples and the crowd heard Jesus speaking of taking up the cross, they were shocked. Why were they shocked? Because they were not expecting that Jesus Christ would be talking about you taking up your cross and following. Because at that point, you have actually demoralized your people. Because right now, if I come before you and I tell you, oh, take up the cross, because you already know what the cross represents, and I'm saying that, take up this cross and follow me. Will you follow me? Whilst you know what the cross is about, will you follow me? Will you? You will not. But he's telling them, he's being very honest with them. He's telling them, listen, if indeed you really want to follow me, take up the cross. Deny yourself and follow me. And that's what Jesus Christ was telling his disciples. And they were picturing a lot of things on their mind, just like some of you are picturing a lot of things on your mind right now. Like, so Uncle Nicholas is saying that we should also go and do the same thing. Yes, the same thing. The same thing. Because that's what Jesus Christ is saying. The same thing. Nothing is changing. It's not a pleasant experience, but it is rewarding. I said, well, it's not a pleasant experience, but it is rewarding. Hallelujah. But Jesus Christ is also calling us. As believers, to make that decision and come after him. Let me give you three examples. Just three examples. First, I want to talk about the Apostle Paul. Now, you all know the story of Paul, right? He was against the Christians. We all know that. So Saul, let me use his previous name. Saul, he was against the Christians. To the extent that he has even gone for approval, so that he can enter into other places and go and what? Crucify the Christians there. But the Bible says that on his way to Damascus, he had an encounter. And in that encounter, he met Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ told him plainly that yes, your time has come. And that you are also going to go through the same thing. So now listen, when the Apostle Paul himself changed his name from Saul to Paul, now he became what? A strong follower of Christ. A strong follower. A strong follower of Christ. He became a disciple of Christ. Even though he was not part of the main disciples, Apostle Paul now became a strong disciple of Christ, and he was the one even pushing the gospel more than the people like Peter and the rest. He was pushing them more. Because he understood the power of the cross, and he was willing to also take up the cross and follow Christ. And then he started doing things. But listen, the cross in itself, like I said, is not a pleasant experience. It is not what? A pleasant experience. Because when you look at Apostle Paul, when he used to be Saul, the people were happy with his conduct. They were happy with him. They were rejoicing with him. But the moment he switched from becoming Saul to Paul, they started having a problem with him. The Roman people started having a problem with him. So when you read the book of Acts, you see that there were several examples of the Roman people coming together and scheming so that they could kill the Apostle Paul. They wanted to kill him because the message of the cross has entered into the apostle. It is my prayer that the message of the cross will enter into us as Christians and as believers, that we understand that the power of the cross is everything to us as Christians. Another example, Peter. Don't forget what Peter did. He was also an ardent follower of Christ. He knew what Jesus Christ had gone through. He was fully aware. And even before seeing some of the things, Jesus Christ had told him about it. And to the extent that Jesus even told Peter that, listen, a time is coming, you will deny me. Now put yourself in the place of Peter. Jesus has told you that a time will come, you deny. What will you do? You start putting measures in place so that what? When the time comes, you will not deny him. Is that not what you do? You put measures in place. But when the time came, Peter failed the test. Peter what? He failed the test. He denied Jesus Christ. How many times? How many times? How many times? Three good times. So if you deny the first time, your mind should even go back. The second time, your mind should go back. But he did it on the third time. He denied him. But the God that we serve, or the Jesus that we believe in, the Jesus who died on the cross for us, that we serve, he does not even give up on us. So when Peter came back to his senses after the denial, and Jesus Christ was crucified, and he saw everything that happened, and Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and he saw him once again, his hope was rejuvenated once again. He came back to his senses. And now Peter became the leader of the church to fulfill the promises that what had been given concerning his life. Because amongst all the disciples, he was the one who had the opportunity to download information from heaven. You remember that situation when Jesus Christ was asking the disciples that, who do men say I am? Who do men say I am? Who? The disciples were mentioning, some of them were mentioning Elijah, others were mentioning some other Moses and things. But only Peter was able to download. He said, you are the Christ. So Peter came back to his senses. He led the church, and it was this same Peter who led the church on the day of Pentecost. And Peter was the same person who moved into another level of evangelism and another level of soul winning after Jesus Christ had left. Before even people like the Apostle Paul came into the picture. All I want to say is that the decision to take up the cross will come with so many uncomfortable situations. So many, many uncomfortable situations. So, some time back, I remember when we were in school, some people who have said that they want to do serious ministry, some of them were so, they were so much into the ministry that they wanted to leave school. And I remember my first encounter with Bishop Doug Edward Mills. It was also on campus. And he came to preach something related to this. I will not forget that day. And when he was preaching, and he was talking about things related to the cross and how you must give it up all and deny yourself and follow Christ. I was very young by then. At a point, I felt like, so this life that I am even living, in actual sense, I'm supposed to be living it for Christ. So the things that I am even pursuing in this life, a time will come, it will matter no more. The things that we are pursuing in this life, a time will come, it will matter no more. It will matter no more. Because you see, the disciples, the 12 disciples who followed Jesus, listen, they all had something doing. Are you aware? They all had something doing. They were doing something. Some of them were tax collectors. Some of them were fisher folks and all of that. So they had businesses that they were pursuing. So what at all will move them to pursue this course? It's because they've had some form of revelation about the man that they were moving with. And that is the point we have to get to as Christians. Hallelujah. Our decision to also take up the cross and follow Christ is also a call to discipleship and followership. That you must move from just becoming a normal Christian or a normal believer to becoming a disciple of Christ, where you follow him and follow him well. Some of us think that, oh, when you give your life to Christ, then it ends there. We are done. It is sorted. It is a done deal. It does not end there. It's a call to real discipleship. Because when you're a disciple, you are able to go the extra mile for who? Your leader. That's why the disciples gave themselves up. The main 12. And even amongst the main 12, there were the main 3. It means that amongst the committed, there were more committed ones. And even amongst the more committed ones, there was the most committed one. Can you give me the book of Luke chapter 14 verse 27? Luke 14:27. And the Bible is saying that, so, and anyone. So Jesus Christ is speaking again. And anyone who does not carry his cross. Anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. It is clear. If you are not ready to carry his cross and you are not ready to follow him, He's saying that you cannot be a disciple. If you are not ready to go all out for him, if you are not ready to deny yourself of some things, if you are not ready to go through that shame, if you are not ready to go through the scorn, then he's saying that the message is very simple. You cannot be my disciple. But the message of the cross, like I was saying, is a call to discipleship and followership. Yes. That will go all out for him. Hallelujah. Taking up the cross is also the next level of our relationship with God after giving our lives to Christ. When you give your life to Christ, it doesn't end there, like I was saying. It does not end there. That's not where it ends. There is another level. And that level is when you decide that you are ready to move with him. You are ready that you want to move into another dimension of relationship with Christ. And that level is when you call yourself a disciple of Christ. And disciples of Christ are not just ordinary believers. Do you know the difference? The difference is that an ordinary believer will be moved by miracles, signs, wonders, and all those things. Because for them, that is what their Christianity is all about. But that level, when you get to where we call the discipleship level, and you are able to build some form of relationship with God, it moves you to another level such that signs, miracles, wonders, and those things are really not anything. They mean a lot, but they are really not anything to you. Why am I saying this? When Jesus was performing the miracles, there were a lot of people following him. Didn't you realize that when you do your Bible studies, the book of Luke, the Synoptic Gospels, you see that there were a lot of people who were excited about the miracles that Jesus Christ was doing. They were happy about it and all of that. But have you asked yourself one question? Good Friday, the day Jesus Christ was being crucified, the 3,000 people, the 5,000 people who were cheering Jesus Christ on and everything, where were they? If they were real disciples of Christ, and they've heard and seen Jesus Christ performing so many signs and wonders and everything, where were they on that day? Where were they? By the day Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross, you can count the number of people who were there. But this morning, I'm praying that the Lord will move you from just becoming an ordinary believer to becoming a disciple of Christ by virtue of the cross. Because when you have a revelation about what the cross means to us as Christians, you are able to what? Move yourself into another level where you understand that no, it's not just about me believing in Christ alone and being an ordinary Christian, but there is more to do. And that's what I call the cross experience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And another thing that the devil hates is when we move to the next level of that experience. Because you see, when you get to that point, now you start thinking about how to also bring people into the fold. So the disciples started doing, they started embarking on some form of major soul winning and evangelism. They wanted to see people also coming into the fold. That was what the disciples were doing. So you see the people like Apostle Paul, they were moving out every part of the world. They were moving around. They were sharing the gospel. They were preaching the cross because they wanted people to come also into the saving power of Christ. They didn't want to be selfish like some of us are now. Now Christians have become very selfish. We have become so selfish that you know that this your friend is not a believer. This your friend, things are not, but you don't even care. But that is not what a real disciple of Christ does. Hallelujah. This morning, I pray that God will move you from being an ordinary believer to becoming a real follower and a disciple of Christ. Hallelujah. So we get to, you see ordinary people who are enthused about miracles and wonderful things, and they are excited about it. But for the for those who have decided to move to the next level by being disciples of Christ, for us, those things, they don't really matter, even though it matters. But our focus automatically shifts to something else, because we don't want a situation whereby the death of Christ on the cross will be in vain. Just like the way some Christians are taking the grace of God for granted. So we deliberately do and commit sin, and then we tell ourselves the grace of God is sufficient. Am I telling lies? When you're in class, you cheat. When you finish, you go and pray, God, your grace is sufficient. I've been washed by the blood of Jesus. You think it's all good? Don't take the grace of God for granted. It's the same way we don't have to take what happened on the cross for granted. Because what happened on the cross did not just happen just for us to see that Jesus Christ is supposed to die, so he's dead, so he ends there. No. It was a supernatural event. What am I saying was a supernatural event? That even at the point of death, Jesus Christ was still thinking about winning a soul. At the point of death. At the point of death. So this whole thing about taking up the cross, it's not just anything. Jesus Christ at the point of death was still thinking about how to win people, how to win souls into the kingdom of God. So the two thieves that were beside him, one saw the revelation and was like, there is something about this man, and because of that thing, I would rather engage him. While the other guy was criticizing Jesus Christ and tell, if you think, you see how ordinary believers behave, the man, he wanted to see Jesus Christ perform some miracles and some signs, because you are saying that you are the Christ. So if you are the Christ, why don't you perform some supernatural events so that we all escape from the cross and vanish and go somewhere? That was his mindset. That Jesus will perform some serious miracle, because it has gotten to the dying moment. So if you are saying that you are the Christ, intervene for yourself, and better so, intervene for us too. But the other one, who qualifies to be a true disciple of Christ, what did he say? He was saying that no, he should not forget about him. He was not interested in the signs and the wonders and the miracles. He was interested in the eternal life, the life that he was going to benefit from after they've died. Because the Bible says that it is appointed unto man to die, after that word, judgment. So the other one was interested in the eternal life. He wasn't ready to just experience some form of miracles, signs and wonders, and then that would be it. No. His mind went very far. Very, very far. And that is a hallmark of a real disciple of Christ. A real disciple of Christ is one that understands what the cross means to him or her. That you will not be moved by the things of this world. No. Hallelujah. Now I'd like to talk about the self-denial. This is one thing that most Christians find difficult to do. So nowadays we barely hear about people who are saying that they are missionaries. Why am I saying that? Missionaries go through a lot. Because you can have everything at your disposal. And then you'll be asked to go to maybe some remote area. I remember when we were in school, in the university, some people said that they are praying that when they become men of God, they will be taken to Saudi Arabia. They will be taken to where are those Islamic? Pakistan, Afghanistan, and those places to go and do missionary work. And I'm like, hey, those places, Christianity too, they don't want it there. I said, but it was a prayer topic for some people. Yeah. It was a serious prayer topic for some people. And it takes some dimension for you to pray some kind of prayer. So as you are seated here, then I'll tell us we should stand up and pray. Our prayer topic is that we are praying that the Lord should move us into places like Pakistan, or move into places like Afghanistan, where we'll go and stand for the gospel. How many of us will be willing to pray such prayers? Let's be honest with ourselves. You want to go? You won't go. All the enjoyment in Accra, the comfort. When you go to those places, you're not even sure whether you come back. Yeah, you're not sure. Well, you can go and they will cut your head off. You can go and they will jail you. Because over there, it's an abomination to come and preach Christ. But it was a prayer topic for some people. For those who have that as a prayer topic, it means that they've gotten to that place. The place where they can deny themselves all some form of pleasure and some kind of privileges that an ordinary believer or ordinary Christian will be enjoying. Because for us Christians, we always want things to be going on well for us. That we should be having plenty money. We should have everything at our disposal. That is the prayer of an ordinary Christian, an ordinary believer. But for them that have been exposed and they've gotten that kind of divine revelation and supernatural revelation about what the cross means, to them these things, they mean nothing. So they don't mind that they will go to some particular remote areas and then their heads will be cut off, even though God should forbid. I don't believe some of us are there yet. But it is my prayer that, you know, even not to that extent, but there are some other ones. Just some other ones. For us at our levels, we just don't want the people around us to know that we are even serious with God. No. Because when they are singing the worldly song, we want to sing some. You get it? When they are doing the things that the world does, we want to be partakers and participators of those things. So the moment you show yourself as a committed disciple of Christ or as a committed believer of Christ, then it means that you cannot be doing some of those things. And that is where the problem is coming from. But I pray that the Lord will deliver you this morning. You are not saying amen. Because you don't want to be delivered. You don't want to be delivered. I said, I pray that the Lord will deliver you. That you move from becoming an ordinary believer and an ordinary Christian to becoming a real disciple of Christ. That should be your prayer. So that the cross will not go waste. The things that happen on the cross will not go waste. It will not be in vain that Christ went to die on the cross. It must not be in vain.
It must not be in vain. But now we also find ourselves in a very challenging time. This generation is a very difficult generation. I must be very honest with you. Why am I saying that? You guys find yourselves in a very tough generation. And sometimes I've been thinking about my daughters. I'm like, God, so what will happen during their time? Because the things going on now, I'm not God, oh, but if I do some projections, I mean, I'm like, God, it's serious. But you guys, you find yourself in a very challenging time. But God is going to help you. Yeah. God is going to help you so that you'll not be like the ordinary people. No. Because that's not God's promise for us. You can't come and be sitting in Teen Chapel and be going for camp meetings and be doing, you can't be doing 40 days of power and just be an ordinary Christian. And this year, you must all participate in the fast. I said you must all participate in the fast. Because listen, if you are not participating in the fast, then don't wear some of the yellow to church. Because this time, we are going to differentiate ourselves. Those of you who will not fast, don't wear the yellow because you are not part of us. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because let me address this issue. This time around, we are going to move together. We are moving together as a strong force. And we are not ready. Listen, we are not ready to leave anybody behind. We don't want to leave anybody behind, right? In as much as we don't want to leave anybody behind, we don't also want you to slack. Because when you slack, we will leave you behind. If you slack, we'll leave you behind. And I'm saying that if you don't part, unless on health grounds, but if it has nothing to do with health or any special reason, I don't see why you should not be able to be a partaker of this 40 days of power. Because in this season, God is going to do a lot of things. And we don't need distractions. We don't need setbacks. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like a football team. If the striker fails to train well as a striker, the defenders and the goalkeeper and the midfielders do their part. Okay? You play a solid game. For those of you who understand football, you play a solid game, right? But you will never win the game. So what is the point playing nice football and losing the game? Doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. So I'm sure as time goes on, we'll be talking more about the 40 days of power. But this is just to let you know that this year, all of us, and like I said, if you don't do it that Sunday, don't wear the yellow, so that we'll know that you are not part. So when we come to church on Sunday, those who are not wearing yellow, we know that all those people, they are not participating in the fast. We'll know when we are praying, we'll let them stand somewhere, then those of us wearing the yellow will come this way, then we'll know how the direction of the prayer will go. Hallelujah. Yeah. Don't you side with me. Because the truth is that God is going to do some wonderful things this year. This year's 40 days, God is going to do some wonderful things, even as we prepare for the camp as well. God, so please, don't miss out. Hallelujah. Let's continue. Let me try and round up, and then we'll pray. So, in a nutshell, today, on this morning, I just came to encourage us. And I want you to understand that it is Jesus Christ who is saying all these things. that he wants us to take up that cross. And he wants us to follow him genuinely from our heart. Not just by word of mouth. Like you say, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer. No. But we should do it from our heart. And we can see those things by the way we actively participate in the things that even goes on in church. Some of us, we don't do anything in church. Nothing. But this is the season for you. This is the time for you. Hallelujah. Let's be on our feet and let's pray. Let's be on our feet. There is a song that, can I get the singers? There's a song that we used to pray a lot with when we were in the university. In the university, I thought I would become a pastor. At a point, I thought I would even stop the school. I'm serious. By the time I entered into my second year, I thought I was going to become a pastor. A serious pastor who will not even work. But even though I'm still a pastor, I'm still becoming a pastor, but I'm working. I want you to lift up your hands and let's... There's this song that we used to pray, and anytime we pray with this song, you know, we have a strong burden that we have to even do more for Christ. And I want you to also pray with this song prayerfully. And the song goes like this. Take up my cross, daily follow you. I'm not ashamed to shine my love for you, my Lord. Oh, straight from my heart, I worship you. You are the reason for life. Simply devoted to you. Oh Lord, I lose my life to follow you. This life that I live is not I that live. For me to live is Christ. Lift up your voice and begin to pray and tell God that you want to be devoted. You want to give your everything for the cause of the gospel. And by virtue of the cross, you are willing to be a disciple of the Lord. You are ready to go the extra mile for the kingdom of God. The time is now for you. The time is today. The time is today. Grateful, and we thank you for the opportunity to come before you. We pray that, Lord Jesus, let the message of the cross, the power of the cross, Lord Jesus, help us to understand and have a divine revelation, a divine understanding of the power of the cross. Even at our age, we pray that, Lord, age will not be a barrier for us in the name of Jesus. That we'll be willing to go all out for you. We'll be willing to deny ourselves. We'll be willing to leave every other thing just to pursue you and pursue everything that we have. Father, we thank you for today. And we thank you for the message. We pray that, Lord Jesus, even as we leave this place, let the message continue to resonate within our spirits and within our hearts. In the name of Jesus, that as we leave this place, Lord, our lives will also not be the same. Father, we thank you for an opportunity like this. We bless you and we give you all the glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, I will pray with thanksgiving. Let's give the Lord a mighty clap offering. A mighty clap offering.